A reading from Paul's letter to the Colossians. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of the disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.' And he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me three loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I've nothing to set before him." And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are in with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything, because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, you will give him a snake instead? Or if a child asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the word of the Lord.
Lord, may I speak, and may we all hear. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I was a bit daunted when in the list of services I read the title of this sermon in the series. It was just How to Pray. However, I have been grateful for the opportunity to look into this particular passage for my own benefit as well as I hope for yours. So please remember, anything I am saying, I am applying very much to myself and not just me saying to you. I guess for most of us here, the Lord's Prayer was one of the first we got by heart. But how many of us got the idea that Jesus was giving us a pattern for prayer, not just a set prayer, although the church quickly made it a central prayer in its worship? I would like to look at the whole Luke passage that Jean read under three P's, and I'm copying Danny from about a month or so ago. Different P's. Pattern, perseverance, and purpose. Pattern, perseverance, and purpose. This was Luke's Lord's Prayer that we had read. The one we normally say is based on the text in Matthew's Gospel, which has some extra parts to it. They both have the same core, and they both illuminate slightly different parts. It's generally that Luke is generally considered to be closer to the original form of the prayer. Neither of the versions in Scripture have the ending that we usually use. Thine be the glory, the power, etc. I looked this up, and this is known to be a traditional benediction used in Jewish worship. And I thought you might like to hear David speaking when commissioning Solomon in the building of the temple. Then David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly. David said, "Blessed are you, O Lord, the God of our ancestor forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, are the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all." Somewhat familiar. But none of this detracts from what we can learn from Luke's passage. The disciples had asked Jesus to pray. They just watched him go away, as was his habit, to go off on his own to pray to God. And they knew that John the Baptist had taught his disciples something about prayer. Whether he'd also given them a pattern for prayer, we don't know. Remember that Andrew had originally been a disciple of John the Baptist. So, we come to the pattern that Jesus gives. Yes, I'm not saying the Lord's Prayer isn't a prayer to be said as such, and we are going to do this later in the service. It is a prayer to be said which covers all sorts of aspects of life. But let's be honest, how many of us can get through saying the Lord's Prayer without going into overdrive and letting our minds wander off onto something else because we know it so well? When you look at it afresh, And that's what I've enjoyed doing in preparation. It cries out for more time to be spent on each part. It provides a pattern for private prayer. It begins with Father, or in Matthew, Our Father. Or if you want another P, Papa. Jesus used the Aramaic Abba in his own prayers. Abba is the intimate, family name. You hear boys and girls running around in those communities saying, Abba, Abba, when they want to attract their daddy's attention. I think it would have been more startling to the disciples to hear Jesus using Abba than it is to us. They were Jews who would have had at least some experience of synagogue worship, where God's name was so holy that it was never written or spoken as such. But here, right at the beginning, Jesus wants them and us to know that God is our Heavenly Father. The use of Abba establishes the relationship which makes the rest of the prayer possible. But immediately, the prayer reminds us and them that God is also holy, and his name is to be worshipped and honored. Now, I confess that I need to spend more time honoring God in my own prayers, pondering his holiness, his glory, giving him due honor. If we all did this petition that his name be honored is more likely to be answered more generally. When my faith first, I was brought up in a church setting, if you like, Sunday school, church, primary school, confirmation at 11. But when my faith first became my own, if you like, and really my relationship with Jesus began, I wanted to talk to God, and I didn't know how to say things. I was very, very grateful then, and I can remember kneeling down by my bed, I was, 17, 18, and being able to say the words of the Gloria that we've just sung, because I'd sung it quite often and I knew it. So that it expressed what I wanted to say to God in praise and worship. I hadn't got words of my own, so I used the Gloria, which is great because it's there to be used. So if you're worried about having words of your own to say to God, you can begin with a prayer that's already written down. That doesn't matter. And as we said it this morning, I thought, I could take the collect of today away and use that to open my prayers during the week if I'm not strictly following a lectionary morning prayer or whatever. We could all do that. So, hallowed be your name, give glory to God, even when you're sitting quietly somewhere private. It's not just a church thing. Then we go on in the prayer to your kingdom come. And this could well lead into prayer for our own actions in the world and honoring God, which could then lead us on to we're praying for the health of the community and the nation and the world. then it moves on to give us each day our daily bread. Time to give God thankfulness for what we do have, and acknowledging our dependence on God for the means of existence. And that could take us in our prayers to praying for the needs of others, personally known to us and known through watching the news or reading the newspaper. And then, sort of in the middle, we come to the petition which has a condition. We all need to ask for our Father's forgiveness in our private prayer as well as in services like this. So let's take time to do that regularly. But then, at the same time, who do we need to forgive? When we're saying the Lord's Prayer in a service, we haven't got time to think in depth about, oh, I need to forgive so-and-so for doing that. But we have when we're on our own. Who do we need to forgive? And can we do it? Because it says that we can, we should, if we are going to receive God's forgiveness. You can't have one without the other. And Luke ends with, "Do not bring us to the time of trial." We all have fears about the future, fears about health, fears about the world situation. Now is the moment to share our fears with God and to seek His protection for our lives. Not selfishly, but being ordinary human beings who have these fears, and asking our Heavenly Father for His help. So here's the pattern. And if we take this pattern as the basis of our personal prayer, then we truly are following in Jesus' footsteps. And all of this would need time on a regular basis. Do we give God that time? And I ask myself very much that question. So let's move on to the next bit of the passage, which I've headed Perseverance. We've all heard accounts of amazing things happening in people's lives as a result of faithful prayer over years by others. I can think of several. If you have one of those stories in your experience or that you've heard, why not share it? Encourage your connect group or with a friend to encourage our prayers. The story of the man going to his friend at midnight to ask for bread because he's got an unexpected visitor is not showing us that if we bother God enough, He will give us what we ask just to get us to go away. No. It does teach us perseverance. It is some... The friend who gave him the bread is someone being willing to provide what his original, the petitioner, if you like, asked and needed to give to someone else in this case. So we should be encouraged to persevere in our prayers. We've been praying for our daughters to come to faith. And we will go on praying until that happens. Well, we'll go on praying anyway then, but until that happens or until we die, leaving it with God. Sometimes God does answer our prayer very quickly and directly, and we have got examples of that too. I think more often we need to persevere, and as we persevere, to check out what it is we are really asking for. And God may want to speak to us about that too. I've used the word purpose as the third P because in the last part of the reading, Jesus is encouraging the disciples and us to ask, search, and knock. These are words of purpose or intent. Jesus constantly asked his Father for guidance, wisdom, and strength during his earthly ministry. So how much more should we? Here, it's quite a difficult passage, this, because we are promised that we will receive, we will find, and we will be admitted. And sometimes that doesn't seem to happen immediately, but let's go back to the perseverance bit. The illustration about human fathers and God giving gifts to the children, it makes the point that even human fathers, with all their failings, mostly try to give good gifts to their children. And then Jesus said, well, if that's true, how much more will God give us good things? And the Luke version specifies how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. The Holy Spirit, Jesus promised to his disciples to be their comforter, which isn't just a there, here you are, dear, it's a poke up the backside to get going as well. It's both. And God wants us to have that gift of his, the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we need to ask. Our prayers must have a purpose that is not selfish. We can ask things for ourselves, but not only for ourselves, if you see what I mean. Or not always for ourselves. John's Gospel records Jesus' words at the last meal with his disciples. If you abide in me and I in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. If our response to this is, but it's not happening, we can be honest, but think, if you abide in me and I in you. Our aim as people of prayer is to abide in Christ so that what we wish is what he wishes for us. Paul writes about it, us having the mind of Christ. To be close to Christ so that his thinking, his way, his wishes become part of ourselves. I guess not many of us perhaps feel they're there yet. I certainly am not. But I aim to persevere in God giving more time and attention in my daily life, to spend time in his presence, to trust in his word, and to work on bringing my desires in line with his, using the pattern, the perseverance, and the purpose which he can and has given us. Amen.